I want us to talk about this question this morning. Now what do I do? Have you ever asked that? Man, I tell you, this has been my theme this week. If when I preach on something, it makes it come true in my own life, I'm going to quit because I had so many things happen to me this past week. Earlier this week, we were having some car issues, and so I was driving it to the shop. My car stops dead in the middle of the road on Shod Road, and I'm sitting there thinking, now what do I do? And I pulled my phone. I broke my phone, the screen on my phone, and I'm thinking, wow, it costs how much? Now what am I going to do? And just last night, I was going through my mind about today's lesson, how I'm going to, I need to print that out in the morning and get, my computer hard drive failed this week, and my sermon was on that, and I don't think it was on any other computer. Oh, it was 11 o'clock, and I realized I don't have a PowerPoint or a sermon for today. Now what am I going to do? So while you all were sleeping very peacefully this morning, I'll tell you, I wasn't. And I had to do this lesson twice, so that's what I'm getting at. But a little more seriously, because we all have those moments where we just like, oh, man, now what am I going to do now? Those things hit us, but sometimes they hit us in serious ways, life-changing ways. Ways that will affect the rest of your life. Events happen to us. Sometimes they have to do with doctor visits. Sometimes they have to do with relationships with people. There's a host of things that leave us asking, what do I do now? Well, that's a good question. It's times like that when, it's a little unsettling. We're not sure the right thing to do. We're confused. We've kind of been spun around by the events, and we don't really even have our bearings sometimes when we're asking that question, what am I going to do now? What do I do? The good news is that God knows we face those kinds of times. And for every circumstance in life, He has given us answers. He has spoken to us. It's one of the things I love about the Word of God is because it's His revealed Word, His revealed will, and as life happens, there are principles in this book that cover all of it. I'm never left with a circumstance or a situation in life where I go, I don't know what God's will is in this. I don't know what He wants me to do. I don't know where I'm supposed to turn. What's the right thing? Well, for all things, God has at least in principle given us answers to those circumstances that we find quite unsettling. I want us to look and use the context of an Old Testament passage dealing with some Old Testament problems that, man, they touch exactly where we're living today. So if you have your Bible, open it to the book of Jeremiah. And it's in chapter 29. And what I want to do is just tell you a little bit about what's going on, and then I want to read the verses and make comments about what the Lord has to say here. The people of Israel were wicked. The prophets were sent to tell them, repent. If you don't repent, God will bring judgment. The northern tribes have already found that out the hard way. Assyria had come and taken them captive, and Judah alone now is left, and they're wicked too, and they're not listening. And God sent prophets to them saying, shape up, or you're going to be carried off into captivity. And it reached a point where that actually happened. The children of Israel, the tribe of Judah, they were sent off into Babylonian captivity. Imagine what that would be like. Just picture today. We go home after lunch today, and we're sitting in our homes in Knoxville, Tennessee. Imagine if a bunch of military folks came up in trucks and just hauled us off to a faraway land and said, this is your new home. Yeah, but wait, I've got a house. Not yours anymore. Yeah, but I have money. My money's in that bank down there. No, it's not. You don't have any money. But I have a farm and I have crops and no, you don't. You're done. This is your new home. Can you imagine the questions that they must have had? Now what do we do? We didn't listen. God was true. He brought the judgment like he said he would. And man, we are in a mess. I don't know how my livelihood, I don't know how I'm going to exist. I don't know how we're going to live. How long is this going to last? Will we come home? All of these questions are running through their head. What are we going to do now? And God answers. And that's the God we serve. You see, he answered their questions and he answers our questions. I can't tell you how many times I have stood with people in hospitals and at funeral homes and I have answered their questions by simply quoting the Word of God. He provides answers for all those tough times that we face in life. This was certainly a tough time in the life of Jeremiah and his people. And so we begin in chapter 29 and we see in verse 4, just read with me in verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. God still cares for these folks. They had sinned. And this is his discipline. He said, it's not accident that they've come and overrun you and hauled you off. This is my cause. I've caused it. I've warned you. You wouldn't listen. And now it's time for discipline. But even when God was angry with his people and disciplining them, he was speaking to them. He was telling them, this is what you're going to do. He gave them instruction. He does the same to us today. What do we do in this situation? What do we do in that situation? Well, you open your Bible. You listen to what God says. And that's where we're going to start. So here's what happens. God gives a message that is to be taken to those folks that have been called off or hauled off into captivity. And he says, here, I'm going to tell you what to do. You all are spinning around and you don't know what to think or what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do. Here's my word. And let's begin with this. Verses 5 and 6. Here's his first instruction. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. I don't think they like that answer. God says, here's what you do. You go there and you build houses and you marry and you give your kids in marriage and you live. You go about and live. You don't stop living because of your circumstances. No, I know you're not going to like this. You're not supposed to like it. It's discipline. But while you're being disciplined, I want you to live. I want you to plant gardens. I want you to marry. And I'm sure they're saying, no, we don't want this to last that long. We want this to be just a little excursion where we go up and in maybe 2 weeks you'll let us come back home. We don't want to leave our homes there. We don't want to build homes here because we got a home back. No, you don't. That's gone. That's history. You lost that. But we don't want to plant garden. That means we're going to be here till harvest time. That's too long. I don't like that answer either. Plant gardens. And that's saying I'm going to be here for a while. Have our kids marry and all. You're talking like we're going to settle down here, God. Yes, that's exactly what he wanted them to do. But his message is probably not what they wanted to hear. And here's my first point. The solution to our problems are not always quick and easy. They're not always simple fixes. Sometimes because of our sin, we get into messes, and sometimes not even because of our sins, just because life happens, we get into situations and there's no easy fix. Sometimes when you visit the doctor, you don't get to say, well, what pill can I take to fix that? Because there is none. Sometimes you have relationship problems that when you get into, there's nothing you can do to change the way a person feels. And it is what it is. Well, what do we do when that happens? What happens when I'm in the midst of circumstances that I don't like? Don't quit living. Don't deny God your life. Don't put everything on hold. And we've seen people do that, haven't we? They find themselves in hard situations. People maybe have mistreated them. They've had their feelings hurt. They gotten bad news, and what they want to do is just shut down. And God's first piece of advice to people who were spinning, not knowing what to do, is live. Plant your gardens, build your houses, marry, and be given in marriage. This isn't going to be quick. It isn't going to be easy. You got to keep going. Okay, so that's a good message for me today as well. Philippians 4 and verse 11, Paul said, I have learned that in whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. You're going to have life happen to you, and you're going to not like where you are, and you're not going to like your circumstances, and you're not going to like what has been done to you, and you're going to not like the pain that you're experiencing or the heartache that you're experiencing. And when those things happen, deal with it. Find contentment in Christ in the midst of all of that confusion and hurt. Here's the second thing that God advises these people as he writes this letter to them. Number one, keep living. But look at verse 7, because we get another piece of advice here in verse 7. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. Wait, what? Wait, you're telling me that we're leaving, we've been hauled away from our own homes. Our land, our property, our homes, our heritage has been taken from us, and we have been dropped over here in this foreign land. We don't even understand what the people are saying here. It's a different language. And you're telling us that now we have to pray for those people and pray for the city to which we have been just unceremoniously dumped? Are you kidding? How can I pray for this place? They're my captors. They're my enemies. It's hard, isn't it? But it's God's instruction. And again, when we find ourselves in circumstances in this life that are not what we would choose for ourselves, and they're hurtful and painful and heartbreaking and all those things, it's difficult to do what's right. But God calls us to do that. Do you remember what he said? Pray for those who spitefully use you. Love your enemies. By praying for this city, Babylon, as they prospered, God was saying, well, that's your prosperity because you're going to be there. You're going to be there for quite a while. If you pray for calamity upon this city, well, then that calamity will fall upon you. So pray for them, because as Babylon goes, so goes you. And sometimes we find ourselves in life where I don't like this, and I don't appreciate the way they talk to me and what they did to me and how they hurt me. And yet God says, you know what you do about that? Well, number one, you keep living. Sometimes you can't just change your circumstances. It is what it is. Keep living and pray for those people. That's hard to do, but that's the Lord's instruction. Look at the third thing that he tells us in this chapter, and it comes from verses 8 and 9. And he says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. See, man, they are ripe for the picking. They don't want to be there. They want to come back home. And so if you were a false prophet and you had a message of, hey guys, listen, you know what? good news. We're going home soon. You know, if you'll do this and this, and if you'll maybe give God's prophets a little more money, we might even get back sooner. And there are so many ways that they could manipulate the people with this false message of hope. Hey, it's not as bad as they would have had followers left and right. Tell me something I want to hear. Jeremiah warned of them earlier in a chapter, in chapter 6. He said, they go around preaching peace when there is no peace. And so he says, don't listen to false prophets. Don't listen to messages of false hope. I know you're desperate. You don't like where you are. But don't just grab onto the first thing that you hear that gives you some kind of hope that maybe promises to get you out of the situation. Jude said of false teachers in his day, they're like clouds without water. You know, you look, oh, there's storm clouds coming. Oh, it's going to rain. And then they just blow over and it never rains. He said, that's the way these false teachers are. They promise things, but they can't deliver. And so with reference to this third point, don't give prey or don't become prey to false hope. 2 weeks ago, I drove out to Oklahoma City to speak at an event out there. And on my way out there, I was listening to a national preacher, a television radio personality that is known for not wanting to say anything controversial, anything negative. All he does is preach about positive platitudes and all that kind of thing. And I decided to listen to him a little bit. He was on the show, and everything he said is promising wealth, health, prosperity, good life, promotions, cars, bigger houses. Everything he said was geared toward that promise, and people eat that up. You take a person that doesn't have that, or you take a person who's struggling in life, and they can't see, and man, they'd love to not have to live paycheck to paycheck and juggle bills and all that. And here comes along a man who says, if you'll do this, all that'll be taken care of. God will bless you. Can you not see how that could be manipulative? God said, don't listen to the lying prophets. You're here for the long haul. You're not going home soon. Plant your vineyards, build your houses, and go about life. This is not, no matter what someone says to you, this is not going to end real soon. I hear people who are sick or have some problem or a loved one that has, and man, these faith healers prey on those people. They're desperate for some hope. What, I've got to find something that can help. And there they are, taking advantage of and manipulating people to their own benefit. I hear people, well, Look at how God's word is manipulated in the same way. We need to be careful that as we find ourselves in circumstances that we don't give an eager ear to any voice that comes along. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, that there will be a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears. They'll turn away from the truth and turn to fables. That can easily happen to us. Find myself in a difficult marriage situation that the Bible condemns, and then somebody says, but it's okay. You see, it doesn't really matter. God will forgive, and that's not going to be a problem. And, well, I want to hear that. But don't be duped by false hope. There are people, look at our culture today, our society today, and all these gender issues. And for some people, that's what they want to believe. That's their hope. You know, if it's that way, then it makes it a whole lot easier for me. And so we have people preaching that message, but it's a lie. It's a message that deceives. And on you go. What's it take to be saved? What do we do to be saved? How do we do this? You know, all these things. Everybody has their answers. And they promise hope, but they can't deliver. So God says to these people, when you're carried off into captivity, here's what I want you to do. I know you're confused, but I want you to live. Don't stop living. Build your houses, plant your vineyards, and marry and live. And I want you to pray for those people who have taken you away. That'll be a hard thing to do, but I want you to do that. And I don't want you to listen to false prophets that give you messages that promise you some escape from the dilemma you're in. It's not true. You're here. Listen to my word. And then here's the fourth point and the final point. God had long-term plans for those people. And when I say long-term, what I'm saying is that God's solution doesn't even come necessarily in our lifetime. Listen to what he says as he begins in chapter 29, verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years. Listen, if you had been 20 years old, if you're just a young man and you were in this captivity, you're going to be there till you're 90 if you live that long. This is a life sentence for most, nearly all of these people that have been carried off into captivity, except for the children. And so God says, thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you shall call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me. I'll be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from the nations and from the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the peace, to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. So God says, finally, I haven't given up on you. I still love you, and I have plans for you. Those plans aren't going to be realized for another 70 years. But when that 70 years is completed, I have plans to call you back home. Well, for most of those listening to this message, they're saying, 70 years? I won't even be here. But do you think that all of God's benefits end in this life? You know, God has promised peace to the child of God. He's promised life everlasting, and so many promises. I know we want them now. I don't want problems now. I don't want difficulty now. I don't want a heartache now. I don't want to shed tears now. I want God to fix those things in my life that make me squirm and make me uncomfortable and that hurt in this life. I wish he could just take all that away from me, but God says, it doesn't work that way. But I will bless you. I haven't forgotten you. I have plans for you. And I can't help but think of Revelation 2. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. You see, not all accounts are settled here in this lifetime. Sometimes the blessing doesn't come until after we breathe our last. But they do come. I think of the persecution of that church in the book of Revelation, those early brothers and sisters in the first century. We have it so easy here compared to what they had it. And they were being killed. And there's a picture in Revelation 6 where those saints were saying, how long, O Lord, how long until you avenge our blood? And we're being killed left and right. And Rome is winning and we're being defeated. And then, and if you just looked at it on the surface, you'd think, well, that's true. Man, God's people, they don't stand a chance. But then you get to Revelation 20, and God pulls back the curtain and lets you see on the other side of eternity. And all those people who have been beheaded and who have shed their blood for the cause of Christ, you know what they're doing? They're reigning with God. They look defeated as their bodies lay strewn across the arenas. They looked helpless and hopeless. But when you look at it from eternity's perspective, you see those very people, they're reigning. They're victorious. Don't quit on God. You may not like your circumstances. You may have been hurt. You may have had people mistreat you. You may be saying and asking, well, what in the world am I going to do now? What else can happen to me? I think God's given us an answer. It was given in the context of a Babylonian captivity, but those principles still apply to us just as much today. Don't give up on God. Don't quit living. Don't withdraw. Serve the Lord to your fullest and find peace in His promise that eventually all wrongs will be made right. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a child of God and you don't have those promises of God's care and protection, you need to obey the gospel. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that this morning. If you're a child of God already but unfaithful, and it's time to come home. It's time to repent and ask God's forgiveness. He calls week after week, day after day, to turn back to Him. If it's time to do that, come back. We'll pray with you. If you need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing this song.